Good morning, Northern California. It's that time again.
Yeah, it is. So quick.
CAD weekend.
Good morning, good morning.
Love being here. Yeah. My name is Nigel. I'm at California Adventure District. My co-pilot, I have two co-pilots today.
One's even closer to a real pilot than I am.
I know, right? James Mazzotta from Enjoy
Howdy.
Magazine.
Good to see you.
And we have Jim Wadley.
Hey, good morning.
He's becoming a regular.
Yeah. He's back.
It's a fun show, though.
Yeah. Right? For those who don't know, Jim is our very, very hardworking Redding Airport manager.
Oh, thank you.
Good job. He's also an outdoor enthusiast.
Oh, yeah.
And this week's show is kind of fun, and I think this is why you're here.
Yeah. A little bit.
You know, it's kind of fun, though. You're going to be like, God, that's going to be a good show. I'm going to be there.
You know, when we talk about adventure, there's obviously various forms of adventure. I like to put things in the category of adrenaline, right? Yeah.
That's a good one. That defines it well.
And so, you know, adventure is obviously, you know, biking and overlanding and all those things.
I would add curiosity.
Curiosity, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And
you guys are awake this morning. I'm like, this is good.
Well, he has thesaurus.com. But, and also, because this represents, we are representing the top 12 northernmost counties of California, it also has to be low-hanging fruit. It has to be here. Don't want to invent something that's not here. And this area would be, we'd be missed to not discuss some of the different things, right? So like Bigfoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved here, somebody said to me, oh, yeah, do you know about the Lemurians? I was like, what are the Lemurians?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, the Lemurians. You have
well,
those two.
Well, mm-hmm. Lemurians.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue.
Yep.
No clue. So you start reading up about
vortexes.
It. Vortexes and all that kind of stuff. And it doesn't take long before you start getting into the whole UFO space and extraterrestrial and paranormal and
supernatural.
Oh, and there's more of that stuff being reported now. So
absolutely.
I'm curious.
We all have cameras on us all the time.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So Mount Shasta specifically being such a hotbed for UFOs, I thought it would be kind of fun to do a UFO show, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where to go, what to see, how to prepare, bring a suitcase.
Right.
Bring your phone.
Right. So at 8:30, we're going to be joined by a very special guest from MUFON. I didn't even know MUFON existed. It's the Mutual UFO Network.
MUFON?
Yeah, MUFON.
Huh, I didn't know about that.
Yep. We're going to be joined by a very special guest, Ruben Uriarte from MUFON. He's actually the field investigator and state director for Northern California.
Really?
Yep.
It's actually somewhat of an official thing.
It's a thing.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, this will be exciting.
Deputy Director of Investigations and International Affairs.
Well, and also how timely, right, for you. Didn't they just finally, well, I don't know. I mean, how they always say things, but I never really know how far they go. But weren't most of the UFO documentation over the last 50, 70 years supposed to have just been declassified?
Well,
just
yes.
A few days ago, I heard.
Yeah, 1 or 2 weeks ago, and then people were high expectations, and then I guess they had an unclassified version and then a classified version that still stayed classified.
And my point exactly, right? Like, what really are they, you know? So they had classified and they unclassified it.
Yes, and
the, what they unclassified really wasn't that great.
I think it was 9 pages. And I think it was 9 pages, and I could be wrong, but at this point, I think any 10-year-old could, on their iPad or their phone, could find all those stats. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that's not being released, obviously.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Stays a mystery. And then that's when you wonder, okay, so you see video footage, right, as of late, those two pilots, were they Navy pilots, right? Right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the Navy ship just recently off the coast of California that has that one that's like comes down and hovers and then goes into the water, just disappears.
Yep.
Underwater, I guess. So, barring anything, I mean, what would you think that could possibly be other than that's just plausible deniability, right? That mm-hmm. those were footage of people that that are getting to see something that they necessarily shouldn't see or have the ability to record and have, and now it's in the public, and so now, you know, you have to chalk it up to UFOs, because if you showed your hand to the rest of the world, so you either have that or it's legit.
Yep.
But I think some of us here, I'm speaking for myself, we will talk later, but I've personally had an experience that I saw here in Reading that there's nothing you could tell me that would explain what took place, other than it's just
extra. So I've heard a lot of stories. I've heard quite a few stories here in Reading, so why don't you share yours? Now's a good time.
So my story, I will go right into it, and if we need to take a break, we will, and we'll come back, but was the year 2000, right? We were all spazzing out on Y2K. And my wife and I were invited to New Year celebration here in downtown Reading. And Pio Locos is what it was called now. I think it's Cheesecake Company over here at the Pine Street School. Yvonne and I lived on the north side of town. And so we were driving to the event. It was at night. And we were coming down the big hill here on North Market or the Miracle Mile. Mm-hmm. And as we were coming down that hill to my left, which is now over where, like, Turtle Bay would be, the Arboretum, that kind of thing, I noticed a red dot or red circle in the sky, fairly high, and didn't think really twice of it other than that caught the corner of my eye, and I just made the assumption it was a blinking light from a plane or a helicopter. Mm-hmm. Really, it felt more like a helicopter because, you know, sometimes when you drive and you have a plane that's coming at you in the sky and you're driving in the opposite direction, it almost seems like the plane's not moving.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, how's that? Is it flying or is it just hovering there? Mm-hmm. It's an optical illusion, right?
Right.
So that's kind of what I got the feeling. And then as I kept driving, I noticed it was getting lower. And, but it wasn't moving. So then I was thinking that's what I was seeing was an optical illusion, right? And as we drove and drove, it got lower and lower and bigger and lower until it was just literally, you know, I mean, in like a helicopter's kind of distance that's coming in to land here at Shasta Regional or something. Like, so mm-hmm. It was pretty low and big and bright. And I thought, I looked at Yvonne and I said, is that an airplane? Is that a helicopter? And she was like, oh, I don't know. She was fussing, trying to get ready. We had a new baby at that point. Gianno had just been born. And I kept saying, no, what is that? What is that? She's like, I don't know. Just drive safe and get us there. And, you know, she wasn't paying really much attention. And so I kept watching it. And we kind of drove by it and passed it. And it was just this big, really red ball of light that just sat there and hovered over that area.
That's unusual.
So I was like, I can't tell what this is. And as we were driving, I noticed it started to raise up, and it did a real fast, you know, like vertical.
See you later.
Yeah, instant. But it stopped.
Pick somebody up.
Yeah. But it stopped, and then I thought, okay, now this is just bizarre, right? So we got to the Pine Street School. I immediately put the car in park in the parking lot, and I jumped out, and I went to a place where I could see it. And Yvonne's saying, you know, we need to get this. And then I said, just leave me alone. If you want to go in. But I'm like, you need to go in and tell people to come out. Like, this is really wild. So as I'm sitting there, it's higher above the Turtle Bay area. And I'm like, this is bizarre. And, I mean, literally, just like that, bam, it just shot, like, up into what would look like space. Right? Like, mm-hmm. Instantly, like, you couldn't even track it. It was just here, and then it was there. Hmm. And I remember seeing it, and now it was tiny and a red dot in the sky. And I thought, this is otherworldly. I mean, nothing can move like that. Nothing. And it then started moving back and forth and kind of shapes, like, you know, constellations. It was doing that. And as soon as I blinked my eye, it had split into two. Then it split into three. And then there were four. I mean, so they just like divided. And they were kind of like a little swarmy around, right? And then one of them looked like it literally shot a beam of light at the other three, like you were firing at it, right?
Asteroids.
And they disappeared. As soon as they shot each one of the other three disappeared. Hmm. And then, boom, the other one, poof, just disappeared. I mean, this was like probably a good 7-10 minutes this went on. Oh. But I was just like, the rest of the night I could not enjoy myself. I was so moved.
Funny how that happens.
Moved by it, like, and I was so pissed because I wanted. There should have been a million people out there staring at this, right?
Maybe it was just for you.
How about sound? No sound.
No sound whatsoever.
Weird.
Nuts. But weird. What I saw then, you know, and then on top of Y2K, I'm thinking, you know, because they're telling us that the computers are going to go down, you know, nuclear missiles might accidentally launch.
So it was the perfect storm.
Yeah, and I kept thinking, oh my God, it's happening. Right? Yeah.
So, Jim, you being at the airport and your history in the military, what you seen?
Let's take our first break.
Yeah, when we get back, we'll talk about it.
Enjoy some rock and roll, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
All right.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Radio show. Thank you, Mr.
Hello.
Chad Phillips from Vista Real Estate for sponsoring our show.
Yeah, Chad, old boy.
Love Chad. Mm-hmm. Sweet. So this is UFO weekend.
Like Shark Week.
Shark Week. Yeah. UFO weekend, I think, is quite fitting for our area. You know, Mr. Rubin sent me the statistics because they track all the reports, right? He was nice enough to send me the reports for June, and in the United States was 560 reports.
Just for June?
Yes, for the month of June. And number one, of course, is California, right?
That's with 43 million eyes.
With 67 reports in California alone. Now, reports are obviously of varying degrees, but I believe that they also had... So they break it all down. But from a United States standpoint, the most impressive, they said, were the 28 landings, hoverings or takeoffs that they reported.
Yeah,
I'm curious if there's consistency with some of these, you know, like I know. California, same sighting as East Coast or...
Well, I'm going to assume, you know, California for this kind of stuff.
We're going to take 50% of those and chalk them up to something that's
other.
I know.
Yeah, half of those were in Venice Beach.
I know.
But our area is absolutely a natural hotbed for this kind of stuff.
That's what they say, the lenticular clouds that hover over Shasta. They, you know, it's like a duck blind that they set up so that they can hover over the mountain and not be seen.
That's funny.
You know, wouldn't it be funny if years from now we're all proven like that was
right?
I know. Everybody eat crow. So anyway, Jim, tell us.
All right. So I have a story. So I was in the Marine Corps active duty from 99 to 04, and I was a range controller. So I had, you know, Yuma. I was stationed in Marine Corps Station Yuma. So that's in the southwest corner of Arizona, right there by Mexico. And Yuma has controls special use airspace.
Yes.
Yep. And there's a lot of military
flight school.
It has a lot of military ranges there, military operating areas, restricted areas where they literally drop live ordnance. Sometimes, like 2307, restricted area 2307, they can shoot ordnance to like 77,000, 97,000, even out of orbit. They literally shoot ordnance. It's
weapons
testing.
And we're talking about not even necessarily rockets per se. They can just be munitions now that can reach orbit.
Yes. And so they do a lot of weapons testing. They even have it hot, 7,000 and below all the time, because if you had a Cessna go through and reverberate some canyons, it could set off some of the ordnance.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on position as a range controller. So to give you an idea, there's 510,000 square miles of airspace that Yuma controls. And sometimes we're like a small center between Albuquerque Center and L.A. Center. And so I was on range control with my surveillance radar, and my job was to clear aircraft, military aircraft, into these restricted areas and, clear them out. So a lot of times we'd get boat strikes from the coast. They would come in from, all different areas, all different branches of service, even sometimes the Belgian Air Force or, Israel, and they all kind of use those areas. And, I had my scope set out to 120 miles, so that's 120 miles on a 240 total. And to give you an example, the radar sweep's about 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a thing called primary radar, which is the radar literally hits a physical object and bounces back.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a positive return of something.
Sure.
Then you have secondary radar that basically says, the transponder says, this is me. I have this transponder code, and it's usually tagged up with, the call sign. They know how fast it's going, all that, altitude. And so you have primary and secondary radar. Well, I'm on position, and I see to the right side of my scope, it would have been to the east of Yuma, pretty big radar return, pretty big. And I saw it sweep, mm-hmm. and then the second one, it was about the middle of my scope.
So it's moving.
Fast. Extremely fast. Then the third sweep, it was on the left side of my scope,
uh-huh.
and then it was gone. No secondary radar, primary only. Something went by.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was, and I was in the military.
Uh-huh.
So that's my story. It's very, it makes me wonder, okay, what is that? What uh-huh. is, I don't know. I don't want to jump to conclusions.
Well, at those speeds, if you're not getting secondary information at all, you're just getting a pass by like that. Obviously, you're getting a bounce. So what I think they're counting on is that you're just going to chalk it up to some little
anomaly.
There is,
we do call it anomalies.
Yeah. Do you have seen anything here in Redding at the airport?
I haven't, but I've been given calls and sometimes text messages, there has been sightings here in Redding, and forget the neighborhood, but they had said, because I had asked, hey, if you see something again, let me know, because I I can look at open source radar. We don't have our own primary radar. That's kind of the FAA's domain. And by the way, those radar tracks you can request with the federal government, and it takes about 30 days or so. So
yeah.
Expect to wait if you do.
What is that called? Information Act?
Freedom of Information Act. Yeah, FOIA. So, but anyway, I did get some phone calls and some text messages, and I was looking at the area with this radar, open source radar, and it's mostly transponder, not primary. So didn't see anything at all, and so it's got me curious. I'm not going to.
Well,
jump
we do
to
have
conclusions.
Just east of here, we do have the Hat Creek Radio Observatory,
yeah.
which so
got a story on it and enjoy. It's amazing. It's like it's truly like ET.
It's
you
like
can go.
Do you ever see the movie Contact?
Yeah,
where they're listening.
Yeah, yep. Where's this at?
Just up in
right
Hat
here,
Creek.
Right here, in between, just north of Lassen.
Yep.
Yep.
So it's a big.
I have to check that.
Yeah, the
out.
Telescopes. Big and, federal. I mean, the
Observatory, yeah. I mean, it's, that's what it's doing is looking for.
Do they offer tours?
Extraterrestrial.
Gonna,
I don't know.
We're going to look into that.
Because, yeah. You know, there's over in one of my other airports, prior airports, Half Moon Bay Airport, there's a little Air Force station there that's linked to Vandenberg. It's mm-hmm. radar. It's missile tracking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to get a tour to that, and holy cow, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the fact that that's even here, there has to be a reason for them for them to put Hat Creek here to begin
well,
with.
Well, I can tell you we don't have any missile silos under the airport.
No, so. Okay. Well, that's,
but,
that's
but anyway, it's you know, this is a curious topic, and I enjoy it. And if anybody has any, you know, sightings or anything, they can give me a call at the airport, and I'll look into it with what information I can look at.
Yep.
What was it called? Hat Creek what?
Hat Creek Radio Observatory.
Yes, that's it.
And I was always curious about that. There's, you know, there's always a reason why you put certain things in certain locations, right?
Yeah, I mean, for real, there are reasons.
And it's close to, it is obviously very close to Mount Shasta, and I think that has something to do with it.
Creek Radio.
You know, so yeah, in
just looking up a picture.
Oh wow! Yeah,
it's a whole array.
Yep, that's not bad.
Yeah. You learn something every
day. I know, right?
That's cool.
So we're gonna look into that. You know, I don't
this
really,
is when I wish
I
the chat room was up and running and people could start giving feeding us information. But
yeah, sharing pictures.
The chat room is unfortunately down for the next 3 days. Because people have been behaving poorly. I know, right? Isn't that cool? So I wonder if that's a tour, the picture that you
that's,
have.
That's promising.
Well, we can do so. The idea is I am actually talking to a few people about organizing like overnight tours, trips into the middle of nowhere up here.
Mm-hmm. All right, sign me up. Come on. Right.
You know? I wonder, though, if you go in a tour, if you come back sterile. Because I have that kind of high power. Let's spend the night under a space telescope.
So I don't know if this is like a listen only, but I can tell you that when we were doing a flight pattern study at Half Moon Bay Airport, because everyone was wondering, why don't you fly over the water and not over the homes and close to the mountain? And Vandenberg said, we're not going to comment, but you don't want to be between that radar station and whatever we're tracking. So yeah, it makes me wonder what is this, listen only, or is it
well, you know, in a previous life when
zap. it's like a giant fly zapper.
I'm done having kids anyway, so I think
in a previous life I used to commute back and forth once a month between LA and Vegas, right? And you go in the middle of the night and listen to Art Bell. You ever do that? Listen to Coast to Coast at like midnight. Mm-mm. And it's all about, and he happened to be based in Pahrump, and it's all about UFOs and extraterrestrials.
Pahrump. What
and,
a great
and,
name.
Yeah, right? And here you are driving in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
At midnight, hearing all these stories, and by the time you arrive in Vegas, you're convinced.
Yeah.
Right?
Interesting.
And living in Vegas for 2 years, they have those Area 51 planes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own little secret.
Aurora.
Yeah, they have their own little secret terminal there at Vegas Airport.
Yeah, Vegas Airport's a pretty intense airport with the military stuff that goes on there.
Yep. Yeah, and go to Area
22, F-35s flying in all day long. Yeah.
Nice.
You know, from what I understand too, there's quite a bit of unexplained. I don't like to use the word extraterrestrial, but because it's such a mundane term, people have been using it, but in Humboldt, right, in the forests, mm-hmm. and obviously near the Hoopa Indian Reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So kinds of stuff going on.
And, you know, I've been reading a lot lately, too, on the number of people that technically go missing in the...
A lot.
In there, but also in Washington and Oregon in the heavily forest areas where they get a lot of UFO sightings, but there's a lot of missing people.
That's right.
Lots. Yeah. I kind of was like, well, why isn't somebody, this should be like a full-blown investigation permanently.
So you know that tracker you have for your kids? You might need one for you when you go out, because now that you're talking about your story, you can let Nigel and I find you.
Yeah. That's right. I was kind of blown away. I was like, where are all these people disappearing to? They go out into the forest and they never come back.
Yeah. But this is the good time to get into this, I think. You know, we call this the time of the Great Awakening. So I think people are waking up and they're open to discussing and seeing things, and they're you know, their mind is open, right?
Mm-hmm.
And and I think this is the perfect place. So
you would be an idiot not to have an open mind. I mean, I get it. You know, even if you're faith based, which you know I am, it you know,
right.
We are in one little itsy bitsy spot of the universe. If you really look at it, and it's as big as they say it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. I mean, God could have lots of us in different places, yep. just doing different things, right? Like we can't be that special.
Well, speak for yourself. Anyway, so when we come back, I believe he's going to be on the line. Mr. Ruben Uriarte is going to join us, and this is going to be great.
Yeah,
talk to a legit expert.
I'm looking forward
to it. Here
we
are with our stories, but this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
maybe he can give us insight on our stories.
That's right.
Hey.
So we will be right back. California Adventure District Radio Show.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, and we're back. This is the California Adventure District Radio Show. My name is Nigel. I've got my friends. James
morning,
and
morning.
Jim. We're here. This is UFO Weekend.
And I'm all excited. I've got my magazine, my computer, my coffee, my bag of cashews. It's like story time.
Ready to go. And on the phone with us, I believe we have Ruben Uriarte. Ruben, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Nigel. How are you?
I'm very well. Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jim.
So, to be honest with you, I didn't even know that MUFON existed. I didn't know what it was, and I started looking into it. And I looked a little bit into your journey. You've had an amazing journey. Why don't you give us a little bit of an overview of who you are and how you got into this?
Yes. My name is Ruben Jose Uriarte, and I've been involved with MUFON for close to 30 years, and my interest in this whole subject matter really started when I was a kid. I lived in Oakland, and I remember one day I was looking up in the sky, and I saw this oval-shaped object that at first I thought it was a balloon. And at that time, there were a lot of blimps, dirigibles that were flying from the Naval Air Station there in Alameda. It was back in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And first I thought that's what it was, but what caught my eye was that the fact that it just remained there. It didn't move, and it remained there for a while. And I had a strange feeling like I was being watched. That was the sensation that I had. So several days later, I was playing I lived between a library and the apartments there where we lived in. There was a small schoolyard, and I was playing with my friends. And I remember my friend pointing straight up in the sky and says, "Hey, look, a flying saucer." Well, I looked up. I didn't see it, but I felt a presence of something. And then what dawned on me, I said, maybe this is what I saw, you know, several days later, earlier. And so that stuck with me for the rest of my life. You know, it was like an imprint. And, you know, I was always fascinated with science fiction and science and that. And the whole topic of UFOs, I became interested later on. And I read a book called Communion by Woodley Strieber and Missing Time by Bud Hopkins, and dealt about the abduction phenomena. And they mentioned MUFON as I was reading the book. And then I decided to sign up and become a member. And gradually I became a field investigator. And I moved up in the organization. And right now, currently, I'm the state director for Northern California. And I also am involved in international affairs. So we deal with countries with MUFON chapters in different countries, as well as we network with a number of other organizations. So we've been around, MUFON's been around since 1969, more than 50 years, and we're one of the largest organizations in terms of investigating this phenomenon. I'd just like to mention that this coming August 27th through the 29th, we're having our International MUFON Symposium at the Marriott Las Vegas Resort. And the theme that we're focusing on is on the military and government witnesses that will be speaking out regarding UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. And that's the other acronym that's been used. So I've been involved in a number of other organizations, Nigel. I've been involved with an organization called Crop Circles Phenomena Research. I was very fortunate to hook up with an organization called Beyond Boundaries. That was a organization that it does tours to hot spots. And I went on one to my very first crop circle expedition in 1994. And we witnessed some incredible things, especially these, oh God, they were like spheres or ambered lights that were hovering above us, and it was amazing. And they descended, and then when my friend went to try to capture them on his video camera, they just disappeared.
So can I ask a real quick question? These organizations that you're talking about that you're part of, are they, because I don't know anything, so that's why I'm here, is to be educated as well. Are they private, 501(c), federal, state? How are they funded? Or are they the organizations?
Many, we're nonprofit organizations.
Okay.
We're not connected with the government.
Okay.
It's all volunteer.
I figured that
much.
There's
a number of them out there, yes, that I've had the good fortune of belonging to. I'm also an author. A co-author with my good friend Noe Torres. We've written a number of books, primarily regarding UFO crashes along the Texas-U.S. Mexican border. And we also did a book called Aliens in the Forest, and that was about a case that happened here up in close to Truckee, where a gentleman who was a bow and arrow hunter, he had gotten lost, and then at night he thought that this light was a helicopter searching for him, and it turned out to be a spacecraft.
So he's waiting. Hey, help me, help me.
Yeah. So overall, it's been an interesting journey. And as you know, the government or the Pentagon just released a 9-page document of declassified. Only for the public, though. There was another document that was given to the defense committees as well as to the Senate, and they've got a much extensive classified version of what's going on. But what's very interesting is that the Pentagon is saying they do exist. UFOs do exist.
Well, that's step one, right?
That's a big one. And that's what we've been saying all along. And that's from all the cases that we've been investigating. And many of our witnesses are people that are in the military, or police officers, and people that are very credible over the years, from housewives, etc.
So, Ruben, is there a reason that you know of that California is number one in the number of reports?
That's a good question, Nigel. I think primarily when we get our stats, we tend to be a number one. A lot of it has to do with our population. More people, just like I heard earlier, more eyes are out there.
Well, that was 43 million eyes.
Yes. And we're divided into two states. We have Southern California, MUFON, and they have about 13 counties under their jurisdiction, and we have about 45. But we're just slightly less populated, but we get our share. We tend to come in as number one, and number two usually it's either Texas or Florida, or one of the major states in the Midwest, or sometimes on the East Coast. But this is a worldwide phenomena,
absolutely,
not just in the United States. Yeah.
I have another quick question for you. Back when you were talking about your original experience as a child, and you were saying you were playing with your friends, so you said that you had saw what you thought might have been a balloon, but you had the eerie suspicion or feeling that you were being watched. And then when you were playing with your friends, and your friend looked up and said, "Hey, look, a UFO," and you looked up and didn't see it, but you still had a sensation. Do you think that is that they have the ability to present themselves in some way, or the sense of, the sense that you were being watched, that was somehow given to you, or I don't want to say implanted because they didn't take you up, but like you saw it earlier and you got that feeling, you still got the feeling even though you didn't visually see what he saw at that moment. Do you think it's like they expose themselves to you and
selectively,
you get and see a sensation, and so they weren't needing you to see it, you could feel it versus, you know?
Yeah. In that case, you know, I always wonder about that. When I explain in my other experience that I had in 1994 in England, I had no doubt that there was actually like my mind was being read. You know, when the first object had appeared, and then it started to descend. I said to myself, "Man, I wish they could reappear, and so that way my friends could see them." And like within a minute, boom, 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 three objects came right up from the horizon, and that's where my friends saw them, and I was sort of totally blown away by it, Jim.
Oh, so there you go.
So it was an incredible experience. Huh.
So can you what are like some of the best investigations you've done where you go? When you meet somebody and you investigate their story and you go, yeah, this is beyond beyond doubt.
That's a hard one. There's been a number of interesting cases that I've been involved in, but a couple of them that really stand out was I was involved with Washington State MUFON, and we were investigating a case where these forest workers were working up there in the forest. I'm trying to remember the name of it. The name escapes me right now, but they owned a lot of timber, and this working crew, they're primarily Latino, so they spoke limited English at that time, and that was the reason why I was asked to help come in and interpret. And the working crew were out there in a remote area, and all of a sudden an object descended over a herd of elk that was nearby the workers. And all of a sudden the elk start running in all different directions, and then this object came and it snatched one of the elk and it took it straight up into the sky, and four of the working crew actually had a really close view of it, and it took them to this object, took the elk right above, right up into the sky, and the working crew was very scared. And yeah. Obviously, they told.
Well, I think that would freak me out.
Hey, you know, that was a concern that these guys had was, you know, if it's able to pick an elk, and you know how big those things are.
Yeah, they're huge. They're like a horse.
Hey, so, So, Ruben, are you able to stay over for one more segment with us?
Sure, yes. In fact, I have some interesting stats I'd like to share.
Yes, I'd like to get into some
with your group.
That'd be great. Awesome. So we will be right back with the last segment.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least three realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Short but sweet, a little bit of rock and roll in the morning. Really good. California Adventure District Radio Show. This is UFO Weekend. This has been really fun so far.
Yeah.
Ruben, you still there with us, buddy?
Yes, I'm right here.
Awesome. So, yes, why don't you pick up where you left off? I think we both, during the break, all of us were saying, well, if we saw an elk disappear up into the sky, we would freak out, too.
I need to change my underwear. Maybe they just wanted some good, healthy, low-fat elk steak.
I don't know.
I'm one of those that every time I see a movie like that, I tell my wife I need a bigger gun.
So you have some interesting statistics for us?
Yes. What I've learned what we've been doing is collecting statistics. And so when people see sightings, they could report it to MUFON.com, and we have a section where they could make their report, and it goes into detail. But that's how we collect our statistics, and that way we know something is occurring somewhere in the same vicinity where these objects are being reported. Just a real quick summary: they seem to be interested in our freeways, our transportation routes, systems, military bases, especially those that have nuclear missiles or nuclear storage of a stockpile.
Mm-hmm.
Airports, I mentioned nuclear power plants, and even large public events. So they tend to focus on that. But, you know, Northern California, since we're spread out, I looked at our stats between January to June, through June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go down the list real quickly, but I'll make you a real quick report. They give you the sighting information here. The Del Norte, the county of Del Norte, we had two cases, and one was near Smith River, Sphere, and the other was also another Sphere in Crescent City. Humboldt County, we didn't get any reports for these last 6 months, but Trinity, we had in Douglas City a sphere. Weaverville, a sphere, and then also in Weaverville, a cylinder. Siskiyou County, three cases. One was in Montague. Is that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Montague. Circle Dunsmuir. We had a report of a disc, and in Weed, a cylinder. Nothing in Modoc or Lassen. In Plumas, we had one report of Portola of a disc-shaped object near a school. Down in Butte, one in Chico, a star-like object. Tama, no report. Lake County, near Clear Lake. This object looked like a blue missile, but I remember there was one year, about several years ago, we were getting a lot of reports out of Clear Lake. Mendocino, Ukiah was just the other shape. And Shasta. And Shasta, as you mentioned earlier, Nigel, that tends to be a hot spot because in Redding we got an oval shaped object, Shasta, disc shape. McLeod, was a report of a bright golden light crossing Mount Shasta. Also, over in that area was a blue light flying through the sky, Redding, a circle-shaped object. And again, Mount Shasta, huge light hovering over in that area as well. So, I mean, there's a lot more detail, but I just kind of gave you just an overview. So I would say, again, most of that activity is coming out of from the Mount Shasta region.
Yeah, that makes sense, and the fact that you can see a disc in Dunsmuir means they're very good at flying, because that's like in a crevice, right?
Well, what I'm really happy to know is that there's a place that you can go report that. I had no idea that obviously the organization had been around that long, and I had wished the first half of the show we were sharing personal experiences, I'm sure every person that's had an experience thinks it's very profound because it affected them. And so, I mean, I had an experience in the year 2000, like I was sharing earlier in the show, and it was extremely, extremely profound for me. I mean, like what I saw, just I've never been able to wrap my head around. It would have been nice to know that I could have gone somewhere and at least let it out of my head so that I didn't feel crazy.
Well, you can talk to Ruben about it after the show, make the report.
Yeah.
You know, but that is true. You know, if it was just one or two reports, you could chalk it up to, people making things up, right?
Yeah.
But when there's so many, it's kind of like the Bigfoot thing. Like, you know Daryl, right? Daryl introduced us, so that's good.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Bigfoot. If it was just one or two, you would just brush it off. But when you look at the number of reports of Bigfoot stuff in our area, there's a ton.
Well, and even if you know that there's crazies all over the world, right? But even if you even hypothetically took 60% of those, that's a high number of crazy, and just said, okay, we're going to just take 60% of all the reports and throw them away, there's still tons.
Yep.
I'm curious if all these sightings have been plotted on like a heat map. You can kind of see where most of it happens.
That would be a good thing to do. So, Ruben, you know, we definitely do want to at some point organize some kind of hotspot tour up in our area. And obviously it's going to be somewhere between Redding and Mount Shasta, right?
Yeah. The phenomenon does change. It'll concentrate on one area, then later, and it'll be in another area.
Characteristics too, maybe.
I'm not sure as to why, but it's that's what we need to kind of look at the trends as to.
Well, it's kind of frightening for him to talk about where they see. It seems that they are interested in transportation infrastructure. Nuclear,
yep.
Large crowds. I mean,
so from what I understand, when it comes to the nuclear facilities, it's to try and make sure that we don't actually use the nuclear facilities.
Well, that would be my guess.
Yeah, these things have the ability to shut down systems, and reports that have come out over the years where they're able to either deactivate or activate the missile silos, especially. Not only here in the United States, but also in the Soviet Union. So the same similar characteristics have occurred. But one thing I wanted to mention was I met Daryl. Daryl was up in Hat Creek, and you mentioned earlier about a city observation, a city observatory.
Yeah.
And there was a report of a Bigfoot, and he met someone from MUFON, and he was trying to verify who that was, so he had contacted me, and that's how we connected, because I always had an interest in Bigfoot as well, because there's the same similarity. You meet very credible people, people that aren't interested in getting any notoriety. They just saw something unusual, and I saw the same thing, or I observed the same thing with Bigfoot reports. I was coming across and talking with people, and they start sharing their experiences. So, again, this is another part of the phenomenon that probably we need to look at, and it also extends into other areas, which becomes kind of alarming. You know, when we talk about the abduction scenario that's going on, as well as cattle mutilations, crop circles, this strange phenomena. So there's a lot more to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Bigfoot uses the SETI dishes for cooking. It's like a sun reflector.
Well, I'm getting to the point where you can tell. You use your discernment, right? When somebody gives you a report, and you can tell whether they're being legit or not. And one of the things I've noticed about the Bigfoot reports is that those who are being legit about it, they'll say the same thing. Like, first, it's the smell, right? That just is horrible. And next, next, they'll actually admit. You know, and it takes a lot for a grown man to admit
that they soil themselves,
that they pee their pants, right? they lose control over. Over their body functions. And then you know that they're
well, and Daryl said also, too, very similarly, when he literally saw Bigfoot in his experience, there he felt like there was more than just a visual. There was a transmission of almost kind of thought or feeling.
And, you know, and then obviously we're dealing with the fact that we have labeled Bigfoot, a Bigfoot, right? I mean, it doesn't know it's a Bigfoot. So our name for it is descriptive, but there's a lot more to it than just a silly name. So, Ruben, anything else before we move on? I want to thank you for the time you spent with us today,
and awesome.
I actually look forward to pursuing this subject. I think it's great for our area. It's a natural fit.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yes, definitely. There's a lot of mystery. When it comes to Northern California, and this is part of it, and be happy to come back on the show if you like. And,
yeah, someday I'd like to sit down and share my experience and just get your thought on it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you can still make a report if you like.
Oh, yeah.
It's as clear as day
in my head.
Kind of funny if you actually went and made a report. It goes back to 2000, and you look at the reports, and there were 10 there.
Yeah, right?
Oh, wow.
I know. I mean, it was like clear as day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I could look at the report and see if there's any other, if anyone else has made a report of, during that particular time.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Ruben, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for the invitation again, and to your audience.
Yeah,
I appreciate
we'll
it.
Talk
thank
soon.
You. Good day.
Bye bye.
Okay, before we go, I think we have 1 minute left.
Yep.
1 minute. It's 115 here this week. So. In writing. So if you're looking for something to do, it just so happens that in Humboldt, it's Fortuna, it's the rodeo week.
Oh.
So if you're looking for something to do in 60-degree weather instead of 120, the coast is waiting. In fact, Skid Row and Warrant canceled their show, I guess, at Rolling Hills because of the heat.
The heat, yeah. That's unfortunate, but yep. Yeah.
You know,
we kind of got Movies in the Park under the wire last night. It was only 111 when we showed up to set up, but by the time the movie started, it was like 84 down by the river in Anderson. It was beautiful.
All right. Let's wrap.
Is it?
Thank you.
So fast.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll
see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.